Just wanted to take a quick moment here and welcome our online audience. Thanks for joining us this morning. So good to see everyone here. We're now going to invite Pastor Ben to come and minister the word this morning.
Well, good morning. When I was living down south, that's where we came from. Down south meaning lower mainland, not like Florida. Because in lower mainland, down south's like southern states. But anyway, lower mainland, at our church there, we kind of got into this tradition where in the summer, we did like a Psalms series. We figured there's just so many Psalms, so just there'll be different people speaking in the summer, and so just pick a Psalm. Pick a Psalm, and probably no two people are going to pick the same Psalm, and it never happens. So, but I don't know, maybe it's just like the warm weather is getting me into that zone because that's where I'm coming from. But I spoke on a Psalm last week, and here I'm going to speak on another Psalm this week. So there you go. I'm going to speak on Psalm 145. And it's kind of in a cool spot in the whole book of Psalms. So right after Psalm 145, you get these five psalms called Hallelujah Psalms. And they're called Hallelujah Psalms because they start and finish with the word Hallelujah, which is just a phrase that means praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. And so there's this kind of big culmination of praise to the book of Psalms. And then right before those five, we get our Psalm, Psalm 145, which is also just full of praise, full of just lifting God's name up. Basically, the entire psalm is taken up with praise, with either just saying stuff about God and how good he is and describing him, or by talking about these people who praise him in every place and all the time. It even gets a unique title, our psalm. It's called the Psalm of Praise, and it's the only psalm in the whole Psalter that gets that title. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about Psalm 145 and this idea of praise. And so I thought I'd start by saying, you know, what is praise? Why do we praise? And so there's a bunch of different words in a psalm like this that talk about praise. And so kind of from those words, hopefully we can get a few ideas of what does this mean to say praise. I think the first idea is kind of like saying thank you. But it's more than saying thank you. It's like also just declaring to God how great he is. So it's like, God, you are so great. We were doing that this morning, right? Great are you, Lord. Just speaking to God. Thank you, God, for who you are, for what you've done. You are so great. This thanks and praise thing. Secondly, it's this idea of telling other people about how great God is. This, you know, when we praise, when we say we're praising someone before other people, we're saying, hey, yeah, that guy's such a great guy. And so this is the same idea with God. We praise God by telling other people about how amazing he is. And then kind of the third picture maybe we can get for praise is this idea of, there's this phrase, it's not translated like this in the translation I'm going to read, but it's like, bless the Lord. And it's this idea of like bowing low, kneeling before God. And then with that, there's the idea of lifting God up, exalting God. So bowing low myself and lifting God up. That's not mean we're like giving God a boost. It's just like acknowledging in our hearts, lifting him up in our hearts, saying, hey, I want to humble myself and I want to lift God up. So those are maybe a few thoughts of what praise means as we're reading this psalm. Declaring, thanking him for his goodness, telling other people how great he is, and then just bowing low and lifting him up. And so why do we do this? Why do we praise? Well, first and foremost, and this is what the psalm will highlight, it's because God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all this, of us lifting him up, of us telling other people how great he is, about us thanking him and giving him praise. But I just want to highlight another thing too. I think it is also, praise is something that shapes us. Because God is worthy, he is the greatest. And so as we come into the place of humbling ourselves and lifting God up, it shapes us and it gives us the right perspective on everything. We say, oh yeah, no, yeah, God is great. And in some way, I think even as we bow low, we're lifted up, not to receive the praise, but to be lifted up into this truer picture of what's going on and say, yes, God is good. He is great. So let's read this psalm together. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 145, we'll just read the whole thing. I'm reading the NIV, and you can read along on the screens or in your Bibles. and whichever you'd like. Let's read this, though. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I think that last verse kind of sums it up in a way. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And if I was to even condense that a little bit more and say, hey, what's a one-sentence summary of the psalm? It would be this. God is worthy of all praise, including mine. So I want to look at kind of three ideas in this. First, that God is worthy of praise. Second, that God is worthy of all praise. And then finally, this idea of including mine. God is worthy of my praise. Verse 3 says this, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Again, this idea that God is the one who's worthy of our praise. And throughout the psalm then, this is kind of expanded on. He's worthy because this. He's worthy because this. He's worthy because this. The first thing we see is that God is worthy of our praise because he is glorious. He's majestic. He's full of splendor. He's exalted. And the psalm starts with this line, I will exalt you, my God, the King. And in verse 5, there's this phrase, the glorious splendor of your majesty. And it's just these three words, glory, splendor, majesty, just all crunched together just to give this even greater picture of, wow, God is so glorious. And a similar phrase again is used in verse 12, this time talking about God's kingdom, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. And I think this idea of majesty or glory, it's kind of hard to define. It's like we kind of get it, but it's kind of hard to define. And maybe it's better experienced than articulated. I love hiking. I haven't done a lot of hikes here yet, but the Lower Mainland has lots of mountains too. And then sometimes we'd go into the up the Coquihalla and stuff. And I love, when you're on a hike and you start, maybe you're in the luscious green forests, and there's moss and creeks and waterfalls, and you're walking, you're like, oh, this is beautiful, it's refreshing. And then you kind of come out, the trees thin a little bit, and then pretty soon the trees are gone, and it's just this low ground cover, and you maybe have some wild blueberries or some flowers are coming up, and it's just a beautiful alpine meadow. And then finally you get to the top, you get to the summit of this mountain, and you look back, and you can see the forest, and you can see the meadow, and then you can see, seems like you can see forever. It's mountains and hills and everything. And it's beautiful and you're in awe. You're in awe at the beauty. And I think that's maybe a picture a little bit of this idea of it's glorious. It's majestic. It's full of splendor. Wow. the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery by InterVarsity Press, it defines glory, God's glory, in this way. It says, glory is an image of divine transcendence as it makes itself visible to people. Glory is an image of divine transcendence as it makes itself visible to people. I love that that definition. And again, maybe hard to define, but I love this because it's this idea of transcendence. The idea that God is transcendent means he's far above us. He's far above us. But somehow that far above usness, that greatness of God comes to us and we experience it in a way. And so we praise God because, yes, he's so much greater than us. He's so exalted. He's so glorious, majestic. And somehow we catch glimpses of that glory. And as we do, we're in awe at its beauty. God's worthy to be praised because he's glorious. He's majestic. He's full of splendor. Second thing I think that we see in this psalm is that God is worthy to be praised because of his mighty deeds, what he has done for people throughout history. We see this in verse 4. It says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. And that idea of one generation talking about what God has done to the next, it's a big idea throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the law and in, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that whole bit. And then we see it throughout the Old Testament in the Psalms. And this psalm just kind of mentions it pretty briefly. But there's actually psalms like Psalm 105 that just go through. And they just say, hey, remember when God did this for Israel? Remember this mighty act and this and this and this, how he saved us, how he redeemed us, how he defeated our enemies, how he punished us when we turned away, how he brought us back, redeemed us again, recounting these mighty deeds. And our psalm says, God is worthy of our praise because of these mighty deeds that he has done. He has worked in history, and so we want to praise him. And then pretty quickly from that, we get to this idea of God's character. You know, we see what God has done, and pretty quickly from that, we can say, hey, this is the kind of God that we're talking about. And so finally, he's worthy to be praised because of the kind of God he is, who he is, his goodness, his character. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. That's a quote from Exodus 34, which is maybe the central scripture describing God's character, who he is, the goodness of God. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. God's to be praised, the psalmist says, because he's a compassionate God. He doesn't delight in killing the wicked. He wants people to repent and turn, and he's full of compassion. He's also faithful. We see this picture of the kingdom in our psalm, and then it kind of starts talking about who God is. And I think we can picture it maybe as he's this faithful king. He has this glorious kingdom, and then look how faithful our king is. I'm just going to read some of these verses again from verse 13 and forward. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. So God is king of the universe, the psalmist says, and he's faithful in that. He provides, he lifts up those who have fallen, and he can be trusted in what he says. It's a good politician. I don't know if politician is the right word for king. More majestic, isn't it? The king. He's a trustworthy king. He's a faithful king. And then finally, and this kind of flows from this faithfulness, but God is a God of righteousness and justice. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So you've got this picture again of God being a righteous God, a righteous king, a just king, one who delivers those who call on him for help, the oppressed, and one who punishes the oppressor, who is causing this oppression. So God is worthy to be praised because he is majestic, he's glorious, he's worthy to be praised because of the mighty things he's done, and he's worthy to be praised because of his goodness, who he is, his character. And those three, you know, I broke it into three to help us think about it, but they all intertwine, don't they? I mean, you think of Exodus 34, that passage where this, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, comes from. That's God's response to Moses saying, God, show me your glory. That's his glory. He shows him, this is who I am. This is the kind of God I am. And again, like we said, there's these mighty deeds, but again, in those deeds, okay, yeah, again, we see the kind of God that God is. So that's my first point. God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised because of all these things. Second point is that God is worthy of all praise. David in this psalm, he really wants to emphasize this idea of all and every. In verse 21, which we read already, he says, let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And this speaks to universality of scope, every creature, every living creature, and also in time, that forever and ever, God is worthy of praise. We see, first of all, that this goodness we're talking about, this faithfulness, that God expresses it to all creation. In verse 9, it says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. And we see that goodness repeated again in verse 15, which we just read. God is described as giver of food to all creatures. And in verse 14, he lifts up all who fall. And in verse 18, he's near to all who call on him in truth. It's clearly something, just even the number of times this word all or every pops up in the psalm, it's something that the psalmist really wants to emphasize here, that God's goodness, his compassion, his character extend to all of his creation. And then in response, there's a picture in the psalm then of all creation responding and praising God for this. So verse 9, which we just finished reading, it ends on this note of God has compassion on all he has made. And then right after in verse 10, and all that you have made, Lord, praises you. All that you have made praises you in response. I'm going to read these few verses again, just verses 10, 11, and 12. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. So you see, God is good to all. He has compassion on everything he's made and responds. Everything he's made praises him, or at least should praise him, or maybe at one point will praise him. Because, of course, we know that there are people on the earth who do not praise God. And so then the psalm quickly transitions into this idea of, but the faithful ones, God's followers, what are they to do? What do they do? Well, they praise God so that, in front of people, they praise God in front of people so that his glory, his mighty deeds, all these things we talk about might be known by the world, by the phrase is actually the children of man, all mankind, that the faithful people declare again to everyone, to make known to everyone how good God is. So there's this picture of extensive praise, that God is good to all and that all then should be praising him. And then there's also this idea of forever and ever, of all time. We read already in verses 4 and on a bit about this idea of generations passing down praise. Hey, letting the next generation know, because this praise deserves to go on forever and ever. And this phrase forever and ever, it comes up several times. In verses 1 and 2, we already read these. But I will exalt you, my God, the King. I'll praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And again in verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. And then finally, that verse 21, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So David's call to praise extends to all people and all creation through all generations because God's goodness extends to all people and all creation throughout all generations. So God is worthy to be praised and God is worthy of all praise. And then final point is including my praise. God is worthy of all praise, including my praise. There's this other thread that comes through the psalm again and again, even when David's like so clearly trying to emphasize this broadness, this breadth of praise throughout all people and all creation and all time, he keeps coming back to himself. This is how he starts. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Kind of like this juxtaposition of my God the King. That's what David calls God in this psalm, my God the King. There's this idea of, hey, you're my God. You receive my praise. And at the same time, there's this idea of King, that we see his kingdom is an everlasting king. He's king over the entire universe, and he is over all. So there's this all, and there's this me. And that gets repeated in that last verse that we've read a few times. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And maybe the most obvious example of putting these two side by side are in verses 4-7, where it says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So this psalm that focuses so much on everyone significantly pairs that with this idea of personal response. That David says, I will praise it. People all around the world are doing this. All creation is praising. The faithful of God are telling everyone about who he is. And I'm going to do it. End of the day, that's his commitment. I will praise the Lord. And I think that's the call for us this morning, right? The personal takeaway. To respond to this universal call to praise personally and individually. To join with those around the world and throughout history who praise the Lord, and to add our praise to theirs. To bow low and to lift God up. And there's lots of things in this psalm that I didn't touch on very much. Things that, like, what do you mean God provides food for all? What about people who are going hungry? And maybe there's other aspects of this that don't resonate this morning. Maybe you don't feel God's goodness. You don't feel compelled to praise. But I think this psalm encourages us to be inspired by the praise of other people. I do this sometimes, and it's kind of weird, I guess, but sometimes when we're singing together and we're worshiping, I just look around the room, and no one's looking at me. It's great. And maybe it's weird. Now you're like, oh, I'm self-conscious. But it's an encouraging thing. That's why I do it. It's an encouraging thing. Maybe you come to church and you're like, you're not feeling full of praise to God. Well, look around the room. Look at these people singing. There are those, and this is why we meet, right? There are those around us who are praising, who are full of praise. So be encouraged by this idea that, hey, there are people everywhere around the world who are praising God, who have experienced his goodness. So look around. Okay, yeah, I think maybe I can join in that praise. And maybe you're here and you do feel full of praise. You feel like God is good. I'm ready to praise. And I think this psalm also encourages us to let that out, to make that commitment like David, I will praise you forever and ever. And not just in church, but through our words, right? I'm guilty of this. I find this difficult to just let that praise out like I would in church in other scenarios. But I think that's the call, to make known to the children of man the might and the glory and the splendor of our God. To say, okay, yes, I do know God's goodness. And what's my response? Well, I will praise him. I will make known his goodness. I'll just let it out. So, the Lord is worthy of our praise. He's full of majesty. He has done great things. And he is a good God, a trustworthy God, a compassionate God. The Lord is worthy of all praise. He's not a local deity. He's at work throughout the whole creation, throughout the whole globe. He is good to everyone, compassionate to everyone. And so he's worthy of all praise. And it even has this picture of creation praising God, and that we're called to join into that. And then finally, God is worthy of my praise. In that big picture, let me join in that. Let's pray. God, thanks that we get some time now to sing together, to praise you together. God, you know what's going on in every heart this morning. Thanks that you're a lot bigger than our hearts, than each individual heart, that you are greater. And thanks that you are a good God, that you are compassionate, you're slow to anger, you're rich in love. Thanks that you see us. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit, that we be moved into this posture of praise, that we'd see your worthiness when we think on what you've done, who you are, and how glorious you are. Be moved to praise you, God. And that as we do that, too, that we would be changed. That praise would shape us to see things from your point of view. We love you, Lord. Amen.